Today's shiur is Masechet Bechorot Daf Chaf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis, the bottom line at the Mishnah. As we've discussed and will continue discussing in our shiurim, the halacha is that a bechor, in order to be eaten by the kohen and not be brought as a carbon, which is of course specifically relevant when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, had to be declared a Balmum. And the only one that could declare it a Balmum is a person who has authorization to make such a declaration. Says our Mishnah, Hanoitel Schar Lias Royas Bechairis, if somebody takes payment for that, Ein Shachtem Al Piv, we may not rely on his declaration. Rashi explains the reason we can't accept his declaration, because we have to be choshed, we have to be concerned that he has an ulterior motive in making that declaration. The Ramban disagrees, because the Ramban says, if that's pshat in the Mishnah, we're about to learn in the moment in the Mishnah that for Ayala, they did allow him to take payment. So if there's this concern of chshad, it shouldn't make a difference. And therefore, the Ramban explains the pshat in the Mishnah is very much connected to an issue that we're going to spend a lot of time in today's Shir Be'ezer Hashem, learning that the Mishnah teaches us in Daf Chof Tesom and Aleph that one is not allowed to take payment to Paskin Ashayla, and this is in the same category. Continues the Mishnah that even though we just learned one might not receive payment, Elmken Hayom Mumcha Kayola B'Yavna, unless he's such a great individual like Ayala, who lived in Yavna, Shatir Lechachamim, Lita Noitel Arba Israel Slabahema, where he was allowed to take a payment of 4 Isra per animal, Daka, for Behema Daka, Vishisha, and he was allowed to take Shisha Lagasa, and it makes no difference if his decision was that the animal is Tam, that it's not a Balmum, or if it was a Balmum. So again, Rashi explains that since Ayala was a great individual, and the concern of chshad doesn't exist by Ayala, and therefore Chazal were lenient with Ayala. The Ramban doesn't agree with Rashi's pshat, and the way the Ramban learns is that Ayala apparently was the only individual in Yavna who had this authorization to be a chacham to look at the bechayrim, and therefore bechayris, and therefore he was very busy. And as we're going to learn later in the shiur, such an individual is a tav tischar b'teila, or because he was so bothered, they had no choice but to allow him to receive payment. So the Mishnah said that Ayala got 4 Isrois for Behema Daka and 6 for Behema Gasa. Asked the Gemara, why was a different payment for a different type of animal? Says the Gemara, my tama, hi nofesh tircha, there's a lot of bother involved when you're dealing with a Behema Daka, when you're dealing with Behema Gasa, it's a big animal, it can hurt you. For Highland Nefesh Tercha, this one is easier, you deserve less. So the Gemara said that, the Mishnah said that Ayala got payment, whether it was a Tam or whether it was a Balmum. Asked the Gemara, Bishlam Balmum, we could understand where Ayala got payment when he declared it was a Balmum. Shum Kudah Sharaleh, now the Kayan can have personal use out of this animal. El Tam Amai, if he's going to declare that the animal is a tam, why is he deserving a payment? Answers the Gemara, because if he's only going to get paid for balmum declarations and not tam declarations, imken osel mechste, people may accuse him falsely, vamri, and they'll say hi balmum tamu. They'll say that this animal that he declared as a balmum is really a tam. The hi the kasharle, I the reason he called it a balmum. Mishum Agra, just because he wants to be able to get payment. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, so why not be concerned by Tam Nami, Amri Balmamhu, that by a Tam, now that we're saying he's getting paid for the Tam, he's going to say that it's really a Balmum, Vahaydala Kisharle, and why didn't he call it Balmum? Savar, because Kihecha, the Shalishkal Agra, is Ibnachrite. If he gets paid for both a Tam and Balmum, ask the Gemara, why not be concerned that really the animal is Balmum? but he's calling it a tam, so they're going to have to bring the animal to him another time, and he'll get paid again. Answers the Gemara. Chadzim the tekino le rabbanon. Trezim the tekino le rabbanon. Per each animal, you only get paid once. So since you only get paid once for the animal, he's not going, if he says it's a balmum, even if they bring it back to him, or if he says it's a tam, he's going to not get paid again. So Tysus asked the obvious question. If he only gets paid once per animal, so then, on the contrary, why not be concerned that he's going to say to the animals about mum, because he's not going to get paid again for it anyway? So Tysus gives two answers. One answer is, to be that concerned, that he already is getting paid for this animal, and just because he doesn't want to be bothered again, that's not a real concern, and therefore we could be lenient. Another Teretz Tysus says, is he only gets paid once per animal, but he's not obligated to look at the animal again. So what are we worried about? He's going to call the animal about mum because he doesn't want to be bothered with this animal. He has another way of avoiding being bothered with this animal. Just saying, I won't look at it again. And therefore, what he says, we believe is true. Actually, this Gemara is the basis for Psak de Shulchan Aruch based on a Rivosh that says that apparently there was a minig that the Shechtim got paid for shechting animals, and they only got paid when the animal came out kosher. Now when the animal came out not kosher, and they therefore says the Rivosh, we really need to be concerned that the reason he's saying it's kosher is only because he wants to get paid, and therefore the halacha is that shechtim are not allowed to get paid that way. They either should get a salary, which is the best way, or get paid per animal, no matter if the animal is kosher or not kosher. However, the Paiskim do continue to discuss that apparently there was, and maybe in some communities there still is, a minig, that after an animal was called kosher, the part of the animal, I heard someplace it was the lung, other places it was the liver, they gave the shaykhim those cuts of the animal. So again, why not be concerned that the shaykhim is going to call the animal kosher, that he should be able to get that meat? So I saw a number of reasons why we need not be concerned. Number one is because we're not talking about anything very significant. So the shaykhim's not going to call an animal kosher when it really isn't, just for this insignificant piece of meat that he's going to get. Another explanation I saw is that this minig, that the shechtim get a piece of the kosher animal, only began after the slaughterhouses had a rov. And it wasn't the shechet who determined himself if the animal is kosher or not. So therefore, it's not his say-so that we're relying on, and therefore, we need not be concerned that he's partial. A third pshat that I saw is a very nice pshat. People are unfortunately going to be lenient when it comes to someone else. Someone else, they're going to say, the meat is kosher when it's really not kosher. But for themselves, they certainly don't want to eat non-kosher meat. So they're not going to call an animal kosher when it's really not, and eat that meat that they know is really not kosher. Continues the Mishnah. Hanaitl schar ladun, if somebody takes payment to Paskin and Dintayra, the halacha is dina b'talim. His Piskei halacha are null and void. It's important to point out that when we speak here about payment, we don't mean shaychet, we don't mean bribery. Because there's a very fundamental difference between what we're learning in our shir and bribery. By bribery, the person's getting paid to favor a side. Here he's not getting paid to favor any specific side. He's getting paid to do the dentara. And as we're going to learn in our Gemara, that is wrong. The machloikus rishonim, when the Gemara says here, dina b'talim, how far does that go? Does it mean even the dentaras that he already paskened previously? Or is it only dina b'talim that will be in the future? Furthermore, there's a machloikus that if we hold that the dina b'talim, that the Mishnah says, is that midrais or midrabbanan? It will be very relevant, laloch lemaisa, because how far do we take this consideration? However, the Rishonim say that there are a number of exceptions to this rule. One exception they say is that if both parties to the dentara agree to pay the dayanim, and it's important they point out that they agree to pay both sides the same amount, otherwise we haven't accomplished much, then we could be more lenient. The Rishonim also say that this entire discussion is when the dayan is getting paid for din Torah. He's getting paid that he has to follow the halacha. But let's say they agree that the dayanim should pass with a pshara, with a compromise. That isn't what the Mishnah means, and that would be fine. Which is the most common, these two are the most common theorem nowadays. There's also discussion in the Paiskim. When the Gemara here says Dina Batalim, doesn't mean it becomes bottle only immediately, even if he did payment, got payment once, or only if he did it a number of times. Most Paiskim have the opinion, even once would be enough to disqualify his Dina Taira. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that if he pays back the money he got, then certainly the Dintara is fine afterwards. Which actually opens up a very interesting question that I saw the Paiskim discuss. What is the halacha? Somebody took payment and he gives back. And he rendered a psak, but the psak we learned now in the Mishnah is a disqualified psak because he shouldn't have gotten paid. And now he gives back the money. So we start the Dintara all over again with the proper approach. Need we be concerned, say the Paiskim, that the person now, since he already committed to a psak, won't be open-minded because he already rendered a psak and he's not going to want to change his mind? Or we could accept that the person's a dayan and he's doing what's right and now he's not getting paid. Doesn't make a difference if he already rendered a decision regarding this Dintara. Which actually has relevance to different shayla the Paiskim discuss. The Paiskim discuss the situation as follows. Let's say we had a dayan who paskened in Torah. And again, we're talking about that he did everything as he's supposed to do. A totally an honest individual. And now, he gets another din Torah, which is very similar to the first din Torah. Do we need to be concerned that this person is already committed to a certain approach, and he won't be open-minded in this new Dintara? Some Paiskim say we need to be concerned. Other Paiskim say no, if the person's a good dayan, the fact that he once issued a psak in this type of Dintara won't have any bearing on any other Dinei Torah that will pass him. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Lahoyd, if he takes payment to testimony, Edusa Batel. And here too, the Rishonim make a number of very important points. They say, you know, in halacha we find two situations where Edom are disqualified. One is the case of Al Gemara, where they're getting paid to say testimony. And another situation is where they're getting paid with their apostle throughout Shas, the Rishoyim, the disqualified individuals. And the Paiskim say that the halachas of these two situations are totally different. Both Lekula and Lechumra. By Edom who are Rishon, the Gemara says many places that Edom is only disqualified if there was a chroza, there was an announcement that this person is apostle. In this case, there is no need for an announcement. On the other hand, a person who's apostle because he's Rasha is apostle. He remains apostle. In this case, that doesn't apply. If he gives back the money, he's fine. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, we know there's a cloud throughout Shas. Eidah Shabbat L'Mekzah Shabbat L'Kula. That if you have a group of Edom, and one of them is disqualified, that disqualifies the entire group. That isn't the halacha here. If one of them took payment and the other one didn't take payment, then we don't have a halacha of Eidah Shabbatayim. The Rajba says a very important halacha. He says, when is the halacha that an aid who takes payment, that he's disqualified? That means if I witnessed an event, I saw something happen, and now I'm called to Besdin to say Eidus. And I say, I'm only going to say Eidus if I get paid. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, the Mishnah is teaching us Eidusa B'Teilim. But what happens where we know that when a get is written, you have to have Edom on a get. When there's a Kedushin, you have to have Edom on a Kedushin. So the people who have, that's their job. They have a job to get paid to say, to sign their names. They get paid to be an aid by a Kedushin. So you're not obligated to go to the wedding and be an aid. You're not obligated to go to the get and be an aid. There the halach is that his aidus is fine, even if he's getting paid for that aidus. One thing the Paiskim, however, make a very strong point to say, that even in a case where aid is allowed to get payment, We're going to have the example in the Gemara whenever there's an issue of Schar B'Teila, which we'll discuss soon in the Gemara, in Mitzvah Shem. That's only, you're never allowed to have a situation where the aid will get paid only if his testimony helps the person he's saying aid is for. That is completely usur, even if when he's allowed to get paid. Lahazar shel kaddish. The halacha is if a person is tamei meis, we have to prepare the parah aduma mixture with the mayim chaim and then sprinkle on him. The halacha is meimah of meimara. That water, if he gets paid for that, is considered meimara. It's considered like it's foul water. Efra mikla. So I saw that the mefarshim asked a very obvious question. Lakadish means the preparation of this water. Lahazois means the sprinkling of this water. So why does the Mishnah speak in the reverse order? First you have Lakadish, and then you have Lahazois. So I saw the mefarshim answer two terutzim. One terutz is that there's a bigger chiddush with Lakadish than Lahazois. Lahazois is the actual mitzvah. And our Mishnah is teaching us that you're not allowed to get paid for doing a mitzvah. Lakadish is only the preparation. So we would think that you're not allowed to, for that you're allowed to get paid. So it teaches us not only Lahazois may you not get paid, but even Lakadish you may not get paid. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that if the Mishnah would indeed mention it in the proper order, Lakadish or Lahazois, one would think that you're only disqualified if you did both, side of preparation and also the sprinkling. If you did one or the other, it's not enough. So the Mishnah specifically mentioned it in reverse order to teach us that for each one of these acts and alone, the water and the ash becomes disqualified. Im Hayu Kayim, however, says the Mishnah, if you have an individual who's a Kayim and you need him to do something on your behalf, Metamei Metum Rasa, and you, by asking him to do this on your behalf, he became Tamei, and the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain how the Kayim is allowed to become Tamei. And now that he's Tamei, he's not allowed to eat Truma. And as we obviously all could understand, Truma is much cheaper than Chulin, because Truma is only allowed to be eaten by Kahanim or Atar. Chulin can be eaten by everyone. So now by you making him Tamei, you've caused him a loss. Then the Halacha is Mechila Mashkei V'Sachu. You could give him food and give him oil that he has to now have. Furthermore, V'mayu Zakit, you're asking an old person to come do something on your behalf, and he can't walk, so he has to order a car service. Makiv al chamar, the nice like schar kapoil. You could pay for his car service, and you also pay him kapoil bottle, which we'll see soon in the Gemara what that means. So the Mishnah has made it extremely clear that you're not allowed to pay someone to do something on your behalf. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this halacha? Answer the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, the Amar Kro, Remei Madati Eschem, Chukim Mishpatim, Kashitzvani Hashem Lakai, B'Kerev Kol Aretz. So does Moshe Rabbeinu say to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael, Ma Ani B'Chinam, Af Atem B'Chinam. Just like I'm for free, so too must everybody teach Torah for free. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim how to understand this limud. Some Rishonim say, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Kashitzvani Hashem Lakai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressly told me to tell you that you're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught me Torah, and obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take payment for teaching me Torah, so too anybody who teaches Torah may not pay payment. And says the Gemara indeed, Tanya Nami Hochi, Kasha Tzivani Hashem Alakai, Ma Ani Bechinam, just like I am doing it for free, Af Atem Bechinam. You too should teach Torah for free. Mefarshim explained, from here we see that one may not receive payment for teaching Torah or doing a mitzvah. So the Tosfos already asked the question. We see every day that people teach Torah, especially they teach Torah to young children, and they get paid. How are they allowed to get paid for teaching Torah? So Tosfos says a number of heterim. One heter Tosfos says is that the person has no other job besides teaching Torah, so he has to live. So we have to pay him, otherwise how is he going to survive? Another pshat, Tosfos says, is that there's a certain tircha involved in teaching Torah, and he's not getting paid for the teaching, he's getting paid for the babysitting. You know, when you deal with little kids or sometimes even with big kids, there's a lot of wear and tear on the person that he deserves to get paid for. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests, and it's an important heter, is you now ought to get paid for teaching Torah that's daraisa, teaching Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat. But Rebbeim also teach things that are not obligated to teach midaraisa. The example Tosfos gives, they teach pisuk tamim. Pisuk tamim means the tamei akra. For that, they're allowed to get paid. However, a very famous Rambam, the Rambam says, whoever gets paid for teaching Torah, the Rambam says, Hare mumechal shem Hashem. The Rambam uses very strong words. It's considered a chil Hashem. However, it's interesting to point out that we know that typically the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion of the Rambam. Here, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow the opinion of the Rambam. And the Ramah also says that a person is allowed to get paid to be a Rav and to teach Torah. And the Mashal even takes it a step further. Not only should a person, is a person allowed to get paid, he says a person should get paid. Why? The Mashal says that, you know, when you pay for something, it has more value than when you get it for free. We want that Talmidei Chachamim, who are Rabbonim and Bagidei Shir, should be considered important. By paying them, that's how they'll get the proper respect. The Chasam Sofer, the Mishnah Berurah, Rav Moshe, all say a different approach. They say that it's very difficult for a person to really develop into being a Talmud Chacham or to be able to devote himself to his community or to his shiurim if he also has the obligation of having a job. And therefore, especially nowadays, Moshe and the Bi'er Halacha both say this very, the Mishnah Berurah say this very clearly, a person shouldn't say, I'm not going to get paid because I learned this Gemara, because it'll affect his learning. Interesting to note, the Paiskim discuss, so how do we have that a Baal Tokeya gets played in Rosh Hashanah? You're not allowed to get paid to do a mitzvah. So the Paiskim answer is very much connected to the Tosfos I just quoted. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tokeya blows many more tekiyas than were mechuyev to blow midaraisa. And we just said that you're not allowed to get paid only for what's a daraisa, not for what's a derabbanan. And that's why they're getting paid for the rabbanan tekiyas. Similarly, I saw the Paiskim discuss, how is a moil allowed to get paid for doing a mila? So the Paiskim say that the obligation of mila is on the father. I have no obligation to be mal your sons. You have an obligation to be mal your son. So for me, it's not a mitzvah. Me, it's not my obligation, and therefore I'm allowed to get paid. Of course, there's always the answer which we gave, that they're not getting paid for the mila, they're getting paid for the schar b'teila, or they're getting paid for the tircha of coming to do the mila. Similarly, I saw that Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked, let's say a shul doesn't have a kohen, and the kohen says that I'm willing to come to the shul to do nesias kapayim only if I'll get paid. So he asks, is that bracha effective? So he says, beautiful vort, he says that the bracha doesn't come from the kohen. The bracha comes from Hashem. Hashem is not getting paid, and therefore the bracha is certainly a valid bracha. I saw that the Chasam Sofer says, that even though we're learning in our Gemara that you're not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah, one is allowed to get paid for Sforim that he wrote. And the Chasam Sofer, in fact, left over his Sforim to his descendants, that they could print and have Panosa from, and it's also well known in the Mishnah Berurah, whole Panosa came, the Chofetz Chaim's Panosa came from him selling Sforim. There's an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim regarding a doctor. And there's a number of questions regarding a doctor. One is the Machloikus Rishonim. Is a doctor allowed to get paid to teach other doctors the field of medicine? Machloikus Rishonim. And then there's the Machloikus Rishonim. If a doctor is allowed to get paid for treating a patient. Some say that certainly a doctor is in the same category as everything we've learned in our Gemara. It's a mitzvah to heal somebody, and therefore you're not allowed to get paid to do a mitzvah. Other Rishonim take the approach, the verapo yirape, that when the Torah gives a person permission to be a doctor or an obligation, the Torah is including that he's allowed to get paid to be a doctor. The question that comes up, and the Ramban already discusses this, is let's say there's a doctor who's a specialist in the field. He's a outstanding professional in that field, and he takes a very serious fee for his services. is he entitled to that fee? So the Ramban says, since he is a unique professional and no one else could duplicate his abilities, he's allowed to take even a very serious fee for his services. And Rama quotes the Ramban la'alocha. What I did see is there's a Shail Satshuvah's Tashbats. The Tashbats discusses the following situation. There's unfortunately someone who's very ill, and he goes to a doctor, and the doctor demands a very high fee for treating him, and also demands a very high fee for the medicines that he gives him to cure him. And the patient is very sick, and when a person's very sick, he's going to agree to do whatever he's asked. And then afterwards, he refuses to pay. What is the halacha? So the Tashbat says as follows. When it comes to the medicine has a value. There's a value to the medicine that you purchase in a pharmacy. So if somebody just goes and takes a crazy price because you're in trouble, that you don't have to pay. But the doctor is a whole different situation. This doctor, as the Ramban said, has this unique ability, and you don't have to contract him, but if you agree to pay, you have to pay what you said you're going to pay. It's interesting to point out that the Gemara is saying here, that's what the Gemara is focused on, that one is not allowed to get paid for teaching Torah. Why? So I saw a beautiful pshat. The Mefarshim explained that the truth is we know that the Torah is so deep and sometimes so difficult to comprehend. So how are we indeed able to understand a piece of Gemara? It's not because we're so smart. It's not because the Rebbe is so great. It all comes from Siyata D'Shmaya. And for Siyata D'Shmaya, you're not entitled to pay. The Rebbe doesn't deserve to get paid for the Siyata D'Shmaya that Hashem gives us to be able to understand our learning. Furthermore, Mefarshim explained that it's interesting to point out that Moshe Rabbeinu in that pasuk says, Kasha Tzivana Hashem Elokai B'Kerev Ha'aretz. So Mefarshim asks, learning Torah, which is the subject of that pasuk, has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. So why is the pasuk mentioned B'Kerev Ha'aretz? What does Eretz Yisrael have to do with this? So I saw beautiful pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu, you could have thought Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, in the Midbar, we had everything we needed. We had the mon, we had the bear, we had clothing. So that's where Rebbe is not allowed to get paid to teach. But in Eretz Yisrael, when we live a normal life and we have expenses to live, a Rebbe is entitled to get paid. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'Kerev Ha'aretz. Even in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have to work for our money, work for a livelihood. We're still not, Kasha Tzvan Hashem L'Kai, the Gemara says Bechina. Another pshat that I saw, why Moshe Rabbeinu said, Bekerev Aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying a very important lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael, he said, I know that I'm not going into Eretz Yisrael. So all the mitzvahs at Tluyas Baretz have nothing to do with me, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Yet we find in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael, the mitzvahs hatluyas baretz. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. What a Rebbe is supposed to do is teach the Talmidim everything, even halachas that have nothing to do with him, that he doesn't need to know. And it really goes a step further than Mefarshim explained. A Rebbe could make the point that if I wouldn't need to prepare a shir, and I wouldn't need time to spend saying the shir, I can learn for myself, and I could grow and become a greater Talmud Chacham that time. Teaches us Moshe Rabbeinu, B'Kerev Aretz. I taught you halachas that have nothing to do with me. A Rebbe has to worry about his Talmidim more than he has to worry about himself. Mefarshim explained, and we know that many Sfarim say this, the Perek Mishlei, that all of us say Friday night of Eish Eschayil, really speaks about Torah. And two of the verses in that perek are very connected to our Gemara. One is we say, Sodan osav atimkor v'chagor losno l'knani. Sodan means silk. Chagor means a belt. So they explain as follows. And it's very much connected to what we said a few moments ago. Sodan, which is the silk, the extras, the drabonans, osasav v'timkor. They were allowed to get paid for that. The chagor, which is the belt, it's a basic garment that we must wear. Osa l'knani, she gets for free. And that's also what we say, Torah's chesed al-shoyna. What's pshat Torah's chesed? What does Torah have to do with chesed? But Al Gemara is teaching us that what is the true Torah? The true Torah is Torah where Rebbe teaches the Torah b'chinam. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained this. The Chemet says this. This is pshat what it says in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos it says, Asay l'cha Rav, v'knei l'cha Chavar. For Rav, you don't have to pay. B'chinam. That's why it says Asay l'cha Rav. A Chavar is not obligated to be a Chavar for free. That's why it says K'nei l'cha Chavar. Continues the Gemara. Umanayin. Shemlai Matz b'chinam. If you can't find a Rebbe that's going to teach you for free, Shiyamad b'schar, that you should pay, Tamalayma emes K'nei. Pay for it. However, Umanayin shalayomer. So how do we know that this individual should not say, Kishem Shalimanati b'schar, just like I had to pay, Kachalam denim b'schar, I should get paid, Tamalayma emes K'nei v'al timkar. The part of a Cherov used to say that how could one pay a Rebbe? Paying a Rebbe is causing him to do an Aveira, because Al Gemara is saying that a Rebbe is supposed to teach Torah for free. And here we're saying that you're teaching, that the Rebbe is allowed to get paid if he refuses to do it for free. But aren't you causing your Rebbe to do an Aveira? Isn't this Lifnei Iver? So he quoted a son of his who perished in the Holocaust. He says, there's a chiyuv to learn Torah b'chinam. But if you can't learn Torah b'chinam, that doesn't take away your chiyuv to learn Torah for payment. And that chiyuv to learn Torah for payment supersedes anything else, and that's why you should pay, even though the Rebbe is doing the wrong thing. We learned in the Mishnah, Lahazis l'kaddish, meimah meimara, afra efer mikla. Vermini asked the Gemara, it says in a Mishnah, Masech the Gedushin, ha-mekaddish b'meichatas, b'efechatas ha-reza mekaddishas, that it's considered that it has value. Because if it doesn't have value, then the Kedushin wouldn't be a Kedushin. Because we know every Kedushin has to be a Shava Pruta. Apishi Yisrael, even though it's Yisrael, and the way Rashi explains Apishi Yisrael means that normally this was a job done by the Kahanim, not by the Yisraelim. Answers the Gemara, Amabai Loi Kasha. Kabischa Havolu Milu. The Mishnah over there is speaking about not the actual Avoida with the Paraduma. It's the carrying it. That certainly is, you're allowed to get paid for. Kan, b'schar hazov kiddush, you're not allowed to get paid for it, and therefore it has no value. Dekanami, and says the Gemara, that we could see in our Mishnah, because the Tani Hochi, let's look at the words of our Mishnah, says the Gemara. L'hazik l'kaddish. The Mishnah doesn't speak about the preparation, it speaks about the actual hazov and the actual kiddush. For Hossam, whereas the Mishnah Masechet Gedushin says, Hamekadosh b'mechatas or b'efechatas. He speaks about the mechatas and efechatas, which represents the preparation. Shema mino, for the preparation, for the tircha, you're allowed to get paid, and therefore it has a value that is valuable for Gedushin. Here it's not. We learned in the Mishnah, in my Koyin Tamei Metrumasai. So the Mishnah says that if Koyin became Tamei doing an avoidus HaKoydish, you have to give him chulin. Ask the Gemara, however, I gufa hechi ozel. How is he allowed to become tamei? Because he's not allowed to become tamei. Answers the Gemara, the base of pras the rabbanon. We're speaking throughout Shas, we speak about a base of pras. The word pras means broken. And it speaks about a situation where there was a grave in a field, and we can't find that grave. And we have throughout Shas, Chazal said, that field is tamei mid rabbanon. Domer of Yehuda Merav, a person could blow as he walks in such a base of pras and walk there. Rav Yehuda bar Ami v'shmeid Rav Yehuda Amar, base of pras shenidash tohar. So the machlekes rishonim how to learn this Gemara. Some rishonim explain that the Gemara here is speaking about a base of pras, and indeed, if you would have blown in the base of pras, you wouldn't be tamei even with the rabbanon, but you didn't blow. And since you didn't blow, you're tamei mid rabbanon, but it's not a tumah deraisa, that's why you didn't do something wrong. That's how some explain. Others explain differently. That even though the Gemara is saying, menapech odam beis apras v'oilich, that if you blow in front of you and you see no bone, you're fine, you can't rely on that. You can only rely on that, the Gemara says, when you're going to bring a carbon pesach, for example. Otherwise, you can't rely on that. So here, the person was blowing. But even though he was blowing, that doesn't change the reality that he's tamei mid rabbanon. And since it doesn't change the reality that he's Tamid the Rabbanon, that's why he didn't do the wrong thing, but he can't eat truma, and that's why we have to give him chulin food. Inami, another way of understanding the Mishnah, when the Torah teaches us that a kohen is not allowed to become tamei, it means he's not allowed to become tamei with a tumas mace. Our Mishnah is not talking about a tumas mace. Our Mishnah is talking about a different type of tumah, tumas sheretz. And therefore, the kohen is tamei. He's not allowed to eat truma when he has tumas sheretz, but he's not allowed to, he's not also for becoming tamei with tumas sheretz. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Imhay is zakein makiva el chamor. If he was a zakein, then you could he could go on a donkey and you have to pay for him. Tana, and then the Mishnah continued, and we pay him kapoil bottle, which is a very important halacha. This is what's known as schar b'teila, that a person is entitled, even if you're doing an avodas hakodesh, that our Gemara is clearly teaching us, you're not allowed to get paid for that. A kapoil bottle is allowed to get paid. Omar baya, what does kapoil bottle mean? Kapoil bottle shoy simalacha. And here too, we have a machlokas we're showing him, what does that mean, kapoil bottle shoy simalacha? Rashi explains as follows. Rashi says that a person has a very good job. A good job, it's a well-paying. What does a good job mean, Rashi says? It's well-paying and easy. Example is, he works with jewelry. So now, you have a person that has that job, and you tell him, you know what, instead of going to work today at your shop, come do a din Torah. So how much would a person be willing to give up his job to go do a din Torah? It's very hard to convince him to give up his job because he has a great job. Whereas, let's say somebody has a difficult job, and now you tell him, you know what, instead of doing your difficult job, you could now come do din Torah. It's much easier to do din Torah than to do a difficult job. So that's the difference. That's how Rashi learns. Tysus is not satisfied with Rashi's pshat, and Tysus has a different approach. Tysus' approach is that, let's say a person has a job. So if the person has an easy job, easy, well-paying job, and you tell the person, you know what, how much would you be willing, instead of doing your job today, to stay home and have a day off? That's the difference of a kapoil bottle. Whereas, and again, it depends on your job, says Tysus. If you have an easy, well-paying job, why would you want to take a day off? It's not so hard to go to work. If you have a hard job, and you don't get paid that much, then you're going to be quicker to agree to take a day off. Says the Mishnah, if somebody is choshar al b'chayrus, and here too we have a machlokes rishonim, what does a choshar al b'chayrus mean? Rashi says, choshar al b'chayrus means that he's the kind of a person that's going to put a mum in a b'char. According to Rashi, there is no concern that a person is going to take an animal which is a b'char and is therefore not allowed to be eaten by us, it belongs in the Mizbeach, because it's a tam, and say it's a bamum. Why? Because Mefarshim explained, why would somebody do that? That's a serious aveira, and I'll just make it into bamum. The Rambam, however, explains Pshat in the Mishnah, is that a person is a person who has an animal that's a tam, b'char, and would lie and say that it's a bamum. Ein loichem enem basa tzvoyim. You're not allowed to even buy from him deer meat, even though, as we learned, a deer is a chaya, and there's no dinner b'chayr by a deer. Nor may we purchase from him leather that hasn't been processed. Rabbi Elazar Omer, we could buy from him the leather of a female, because again, there's no b'chayr by a female. Then we may not buy from him wool that's white or dirty. Gemara's going to ask, obviously, if you can't buy white, it's certainly not dirty. Avlechem and Tavi begadim, we could buy from him garments that are made out of wool. So now the Gemara analyzes the different halachas of this Mishnah. Basat Tzvoyim, why may we not purchase from him even deer meat? As we learned, there's no bechayr by a deer. Answers the Gemara, the michla b'dagola. Deer meat and calf meat are very similar. And therefore, and by calves, there is b'char. V'loi Irish of Ein Avudim. The Mishnah says we're not allowed to buy from him non-processed leather. Havudim, but if it's processed of ninim. Why? Why is there a difference if it's processed or not? Says the Gemara, im isa de b'charhu, because if indeed this is the skin of a b'char, lo avatarf bay. The person knows he's doing the wrong thing. Again, we're referring to an individual who's selling the Bechar Baal Mum, which he's not allowed to do. So the person knows he's taking a risk. Savar Ishama Bei Rabbanan, if the Rabbanan hear that what I'm selling is Bechar, leather, Master Leminai, they're going to take it away from me. So the person says, if it's not processed, so I didn't really have to work too hard for it, so that I'm willing to take the risk. But now to go bother and process the leather and then get caught and lose it, that we need not be concerned. We're allowed to buy from him the R of a Nekeva. My Tama, says the Gemara, made the idea. You could tell it's from a Nekeva versus from a Zohar, and there's no Bechayr by the Nekeva. Ask the Gemara of a Tamakama, why is the Tanakama Machmer by Nekeva? Says the Gemara, because in Cain, if we're going to allow him to buy the Keva leather, what he'll do is, he'll cut out the place where it was the male organ, and therefore he'll be able to fool the customers into thinking that it was the Keva when it's really a Zohar. And that's why we don't let him buy even the Keva leather. What does Rabbi Lezer respond? Bechbar made the idea. If a person has mice, rats in his house, that there's that concern, everybody would know. And therefore, if it's cut out, we'll know that it was cut out. And you can't buy it. Otherwise, we could buy it. Ask the Gemara, Hashtem Tzemelubas Leizvinim. If we're not allowed to buy white wool, that I was matriach, not me, that somebody was matriach himself to work with, we're not allowed to buy Soyi, certainly dirty wool, mibaya, we shouldn't be allowed to buy. Because again, following the concept that the Gemara has established, that this person who's doing the wrong thing is not going to invest energy and resources and then get caught. So if making wool white is not considered that much of a effort, certainly if it's dirty, he's certainly not allowed to buy it. El Chodok Tani, says the way to understand the Mishnah, Tzebim Meluvim Mitzvah. The Mishnah is teaching us that if it only was whitened, that is not considered a lot of effort, and therefore you're not allowed to buy it. However, Seinim Rishonim, but let's say it was indeed dyed, and it was obviously very processed, that is a proof that it's not Bechar wool, and you're allowed to buy it. Avlechem and Tevi Begodim. Ask them again, Hashti Devi Zvinan, if we're allowed to buy from him threads made out of this wool, because that's a proof that it's certainly not Bechar wool, Begodim Ibai, so must the Mishnah say that we're not allowed to buy Begodim? Answer the Gemara, my Begodim, it doesn't mean garments that were sewn into a garment. Certainly if you have wool that was sewn into a garment, that is clearly an indication that it's not Bechar. Because again, nobody's going to take the risk of making it into a garment and then get caught. Namti means felt. Felt wasn't sewn and processed, it was just pressed down, which isn't that much of an effort. And that's what the Mishnah says, that you would think that you're not allowed to buy it, because that's already maybe not that much effort. Just the Gemara, you are allowed to buy it. Says the Mishnah, Choshed al Shvius, somebody who's accused of violating Hilchos Shvius, Ein Loichem Mena Pishtin, you're not allowed to buy from him even linen. So from here we see, say the Rishonim, that linen has a chiyuv the rice of Shemitah, v'afil a sarak, even if it was already combed, avloch men a tovi v'arik, that if it was made into threads or was woven together, you are allowed to buy it. Ask the Gemara, hash the tovi zavinin, if we're going to allow to buy threads, because that's a clear indication that he wouldn't, that it's not Shemitah, because again, with the same reasoning that we've been learning, he's not going to take the risk of selling it, of processing it, and then get caught. Orig, so he wove it into Begid, certainly it should be mutter. Why does the Mishnah have to say both Tevi and Orig? Answers the Gemara, my Orig, when the Mishnah says Orig, it means Tiki. It's like Rashi says, sort of chains made out of linen. That's not something that you have to be concerned. Says the Mishnah, Choshed Lias Mecha Truma L'Shem Chulin. If we have a concern that somebody sells truma and he calls it chulin, ein lechem men afil mayim v'melech. And as the Rishonim point out, here the Mishnah is being much stricter than it was previously. Because here the Mishnah is saying, in the previous cases, he's not allowed to buy the item that's in question. Here, because he's choshed on selling truma, you're not even buy other fields from him. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Omer, kosh yesh by zikas truma meisers, anything that has a connection to truma meiser, ain't loichem imenu. Ask the Gemara, lasuya mai. What does it mean, zikas truma? Answers the Gemara, lasuya kirvei dogim de ma'aveh by shemen. Not allowed to buy fish because they put oil into it, and the oil has an issue that there's a chiv taking truma from oil. So Rishayim ask an obvious question. What's the chiddush? If there's oil in the kirvei dogim, so it's like something, it's not something that has zikas truma. It's real issue. The shemen has a chiv truma. So Rishayim say what the Gemara means to say is a very big chiddush. Certainly the kirvei dogim that have oil in them, you're not allowed to buy. Because we need to be concerned that maybe there's truma oil in this kirvei dogim. The chiddush is that even if you have kirvei dogim that he hasn't put oil into yet, so there's nothing to be worried about. It's only fish. It's still the halacha, it's asr. Says the Gemara, Hu tapcha dava chashu lezvunei tabed itma b'mar dekanta. He used to sell non-kosher fat under the guise that it was kosher. Can't say Rava lezvunei afilam guzi. So Rava said, you're not even buying nuts from this person. Amalei apapa Rava, k'man k'Rabbi Yehuda. Whose opinion is this? It's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, if this represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, I feel my mouth, nami. Rabbi Yehuda says that if your person is considered a cheat, you're not allowed to buy anything from him. So why is specifically not? Answers the Gemara, la'olam Rav Shimon. It represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. And says the Gemara, besur de gufa katsinalei. Because by telling us that you can't buy nuts, it's like something that has zikas truma. Why? Because he says like this. Stam dardiki, when you looked at children, in those days, the snacks the children ate were healthy snacks. They ate nuts. Stam dardiki gorbem guzi. They used to entice them to come with nuts. V'ozel u'mishabish l'b'dei tavchi. So they were the children of the people who were in the meat business. V'gorbem guzi. So what they used to do was, they used to tell them, come to me. And how did I get them to come to me? By giving them nuts, or ma'isle tab de itma, and then once I got these children to do what I said, because I offered them snacks, I would tell them, your father is in the meat business, bring me the non-kosher fat that your father has. And the father really didn't pay much attention to the non-kosher fat, because he doesn't really have much business for that. And then this individual, after he got his hands on this non-kosher fat, Mazmul Bibar de Kanta claims that it's kosher, and that's why it's considered, even according to Rav Shimon, something that's connected to this food, that even Rav Shimon agrees that anything that's connected, you're not allowed to buy from such an individual.